Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it?
I don't know.
Where's the hammer?
It's on a different
floor. Is it on the, go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering. Stop the hammering.
Yeah. Because it's the news, according to me. That's just it. That comes to us courtesy of Lefties Losing It. I'll read up in you. This is, that's just a class. I don't know when he did. That was several years ago. That was back, I think that was back during Trump's first term. I'm pretty sure it was. This guy was out of control. Lawrence O'Donnell, this guy's name. Stop the Hammering. It's a classic. Welcome aboard, folks. It is Wednesday, March 19th, 1:27 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is late in the day. I had to attend to some things this morning, get some things done. It has been a bit of a day. Just a busy day. And it's a beautiful day outside, though. Holy cow! I almost hate to be inside. I should have recorded this outside. So it's so nice today. So it's 68 degrees, sun is shining, hardly any breeze at all. Just very pleasant. Dogs were so hot they couldn't hardly walk. I'm so used to being cold outside. I'm gonna have to get rid of their wintertime fur. But the and of course I had to stop on my way. I was out running around, and on the way past Chick-fil-A, we had to stop for my wife and I stopped for Chick-fil-A grilled chicken sandwiches, which of course we got a couple of sweet teas. I'm drinking this sweet tea from Chick-fil-A, and it is good stuff. I've already drank my chai for the day, so I almost made another one. But I just didn't want to go crazy. You know, you don't want to go crazy with this stuff. No, it can only take so much. So I had ice cream last night. I had, I had an Arby's sandwich last night, I think, for supper. I was out, and again, it was just a crazy evening. I had stuff to do, and it made more sense for me to go out and do that. I still have to get the garbage over to the garbage, to the dump today. It's dump day. Got a few things to cover today. I got some audio in the bank here this morning. I got some audio recordings that I've put together. Interesting stuff that we're going to be talking about today and tomorrow, because I have some more audio for tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to talk more about the judges' decisions, what's going on with the judge stuff. The judges are stepping in, trying on their own. There's nobody filing any lawsuits. Normally when a judge rules on a case, normally the judges themselves don't bring the case. The judge doesn't just come up with a case. These judges are stepping in on their own. It's called activism. They're activist judges, and that's what they're doing. They're stepping in and filing these cases against the president as if they have authority over the president, which is backwards from what it should be. Now, I'm not sure what's going to happen here with this stuff. The Supreme Court's going to rule. If they rule. Now, Roberts could have ruled on this a long time ago, but now he's under the gun. They deferred it. So, well, let's just let the appellate system work its way out. Now, of course, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not any kind of a specialist of when it comes to anything. I know airplanes. That's about what I know. There's another incident recently, by the way. Maybe I'll play the audio from what happened there. Endeavor, of course, another CRJ 9. I think it was 900. I don't think it was 700. I think it was a 900. Which is a regional jet. It's made by Bombardier up in Canada. Apparently, they touched down, and they were in the process of touching down, and they did a go around. I think they were getting a little squirrely. Now, I happened to be out that day, going into Scranton that evening. And I had also been to somewhere else that day. I don't remember where, Buffalo or someplace, I think Buffalo. And on the way into Scranton, it was, I think the winds, I was checking the winds there, and it was like, I think they were gusting to 45. Scranton is kind of in a valley, and it's kind of a special airport. But the going in there, and it was when I was gusting to 45. I can't remember the steady state winds. I think they were 22 gusting to 45 or 27 gusting to 20. I think they were 27 gusting to. Yeah, it was 27. 107 gusts. Whatever it is. And for those of you who don't know Rain Man. So we have this wind that was getting kind of waskowy over there on the right side of the country, on the on the East Coast. We were going, I remember it was bumpy, thunderstorms moving through. It was kind of a crazy day. And we landed so silky smooth, everybody clapped. And then I just found out yesterday about the issue on Sunday. Heard the audio from the control towers, and it was in the process of going around. This airplane was getting pretty squirrely, and now the wings on the RJ are pretty fairly low. I guess they struck a wingtip on their way out. Some sparks flew off the side of the wing. This was going into. Or were they? Somewhere on the East Coast. I can't remember where it is, but it was not. LaGuardia. I think it was LaGuardia. And so they did a go around, and they, you know, missed approach, whatever, went back around, landed. They checked it out. Sure enough, they had struck their wingtip. unfortunately, it was on the radio. Of course, when they talked to him, there was a female on the radio. Now, that means that the other pilot was flying. I don't know whether it was two females or not. Regardless, it doesn't matter. I don't care. Just saying, they need a little better press right now. That's just not what I'm saying. yeah. The jokes are just continuing to fly, of course. Or not. Yeah, anyway. So there's some audio I want to play. Interesting stuff. Because the as I said yesterday, the left... The Democrats are imploding. The party's imploding right now. And now it's not going away. Don't get me wrong. It is, I would say it's shape-shifting. They're in a turmoil right now about who they're going to be. They're having an identity crisis, what they're having. At the same time, they're just rattling off things about Donald Trump and about the law and the Constitution and the country. And they're just continuing to go down this vortex of ridiculous hyperbole, and I don't know. There is it is almost like brain issues. It's like this has affected DTS, has Trump derangement syndrome, TDS is it, has affected their brain to the point where they can't even function hardly at all. It's just everything is about that. They just have convulsions all day long about Donald Trump, Donald Trump, blah, 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 blah. Now there are some other people who fortunately have kind of started waking up. Now they don't really, though. Don't get me wrong here. They're trying to reason through this process and trying to be reasonable. People like Gavin Newsom, who started this podcast. Now, I guarantee you, when people come out with books, when they come out with podcasts, when they do this kind of stuff, they're pushing for a political angle. And I guarantee you, Gavin Newsom is doing that with this podcast. He's thinking he's going to be, I know in his head, he thinks he's going to be the next Joe Rogan. Everybody's going to listen to his show. Now, he's brought on people like Steve Bannon. Who's the other guy? Michael Savage. These guys are, I would say, radical right. I don't know that I would call them conservative. They are not establishment Republicans, let's put it that way. I would say they are staunch constitutional conservatives, if you're going to call them a conservative, which is fine. I would agree with 99 or 98.7% of what they say with regard to policy issues in the country and the country's founding, those kinds of things. You can reach different conclusions, or you can have different ways of getting to the more perfect union that we're trying to establish here. But at the same time, it's not, they are not socialist. They are not communist. But they are not, certainly not, Nazis. They are not white supremacists or white nationalists. That's not what they are. They're just constructionists, constitutionalists, I would say. I'd say more libertarian, conservative libertarian, maybe. Definitely, I don't know. I hate people putting people in pigeonholes like that. But that's if you have to define them, that's what I would say. That's sort of where they're at. But he's inviting these people on. And he's having these. I think he had Charlie Kirk on, which is I think he started. What is it? Something USA, whatever it is. And you know, he's having these discussions, and he's kind of caving on some issues. He's trying to placate the. Now, keep in mind, Barack Obama came out in 2012 and said he was against gay marriage. And that turned around in his 4 years. Well, he's evolving on the issue after he got elected. Now he's evolving on the issue now. Maybe it was 2008. I thought it was 2012 that he was running, that he made that statement. Because he had to be, you know, more central, more in the centrist point of view. And then, of course, he went radical left in his second term. But there, and there was a time, and I think back, it was back in 2004, I believe, that everybody thought that the Democrat Party was going away. You know, they had lost their moorings, they were gone. They had lost their way. And I think of course, they came back, obviously, 2008, they came back. And they were redefined. Now, all it takes is one leader to step up and do that. Does Gavin Newsom have that ability? Does he have the, I don't know. I don't know if he's got what it takes. I think he has damaged himself a lot with what he's done in California. He has not exactly turned California around. Let's just put it that way. He's been more, I would say California has gone more, you know, over the deep end. Now, there is a huge deal right now that it may cause a problem with California. This could be really bad. They have a thing called Medi-Cal there. It's a medical thing that they have, kind of like Medicare, and it's Medi-Cal. My understanding is it's in the billions of dollars. I think it might be $10 billion that they spend that is spent every year on the Medi-Cal program. $10 billion with a B. My understanding is they get federal relief from that. I don't know what percentage it is. It's a pretty high percentage. And my understanding is that the federal funding, the federal aid, may go away. They're going to be left on their own to pay Medi-Cal out of their own pockets in California. They are already running a huge deficit. Taxation has gone through the roof. And if this is the legacy that he's going to leave, I don't think he's going to have a chance in 2028 at all. I mean, I don't think he's going to be able to run. But nobody else is stepping up that has any credibility. Now, they're talking about AOC and Jasmine Prickett, or whatever her name is. What is her name? Jasmine somebody. Jasmine Prockett? Sprockett? I don't know. Lady who uses the F word every other time she turns around. I mean, it's just, she'll be in a speech and she'll use the F word about seven times in one sentence. That's what we need in this country. That'd be great. Hiring a teenager. So, this is Brzezinka. What's her name? What's her, on Morning Joe. This is the lady who controls Joe Scarborough. They're supposedly married, I guess. This is her opinion. She has this little thing here to say. She talks about the polls. This is what's happening with the polls. Oops.
The Democratic Party has reached an all-time low in popularity. The latest NBC News national poll finds that a majority of registered voters, 55%, have a negative view of the party, while 27%, just over a quarter of registered voters, have a positive view of the party. That's the party's lowest rating in NBC News polling dating back to 1990.
That is pretty pathetic. 27% favorability among voters. Even among Democrats, they're underwater. 18%, did she say 18%? Is that what it was? 18% was neutral, meaning they don't really care. They don't really have an opinion about it. That's bad. They don't have a positive or negative attitude or opinion. They're indifferent, which is even worse. That means they don't even care about what happens to the Democrat Party. That's bad. 55% are negative towards the Democrat Party right now. They are underwater. And like I said yesterday, they do not have a leader right now to step up and define who they are. They are completely lost in this whole thing. Now, keep in mind, Michael Steele now is on, I think he's on MSNBC, was the head of the Republican Party at one time. Go look up who this guy is and what he's been saying lately about the Republicans. This guy was never a Republican. He was complete, if he was anything, he was an establishment Republican. And I guarantee you, he didn't just leave the Republican. How do these guys who are high up in the Republican Party, I think what's this guy's name? Chris, he wrote a couple books. There's all kinds of people out there who have been Republicans. Oh, the party left me. I didn't leave the party. The party left me. Well, where are you going? You're going left, not right. So you're going to go to the Democrats now because the party left you? I would say the Republican Party has moved more to the left. So you're going to jump, like leapfrog over them and go totally into the socialist pool? I don't understand that at all. If you were heading up the Republican Party, you should be in charge of at least understanding and knowing the definition of Republicans and what they mean, what they stand for. And here you are, and hopefully you believe in it. Hopefully you have an understanding of the reason we have these principles and policies that we base the party on, the foundational principal parties of the other parties. And here you are, jumping over to the left. You never understood. You never had one bit of conviction about what the Republican Party stands for or what conservatives are, what the Constitution is about. You never did. Now, you could say that they're two sides of the same coin, whatever. But my point is, the establishment doesn't care. The establishment is just looking for the what's best for me right now. They'll play either side. They'll play the whatever they got to say. Anti-abortion one day and pro-abortion the next. That's what it takes. They don't care. I'd rather have somebody who's solid on their convictions, who's reasonable, who can talk about it, than somebody who just jumps all over the place because of whatever's politically expedient at the moment. Don Lemon. There's a little clip here of Don Lemon, who was fired from CNN. Probably get his job back, I assume at some point. I'm going to go forward here. He's got this thing here. These clips are, by the way, Mark Dice provided me with some of these clips. He's got some that are, what's this one here? That's right where I want to be, 655. This is Don Lemon's being interviewed by Bill Maher, of all people. We're gonna play this little clip real quick. He's talking about AOC and Jasmine Prickett and people like that. I think it's should be interesting.
People love AOC. People love Jasmine Crockett. People love Eric Swalwell.
Now, to give you some context here, he's talking about defining the party and who's going to step forward in the future to be the leaders of the Democrat Party and the potential for presidential candidates. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Jasmine Prickett, Eric Swalwell. Now, I see these people as jokes. They are jokes. However, keep in mind, the Democrats don't care how crazy or wackadoo you are. I mean, look, they nominated I think you know who they nominated for this last election. Now, wackadoodle crazy that was. I have a little puppy down here at my feet. He's curled up. He's weird, doing getting some serious exercise earlier. So that's what he's talking about. So that's what he's talking about here in this little clip. Now, okay, I'm going to let it keep going here because it's just for another 10 seconds.
And the like. And I think that the Democratic Party should put the people out there who the people want. They should put the politicians out there who the people want, who they're asking for.
Now, this is now, of course, Bill Maher totally disagrees with him. He says that can't be. Nobody's going to vote for those people. He's like, no, you can't do that. No, he disagrees with him. Now, Bill Maher is not necessarily the political brain that he thinks he is. He has no clue about some things that are going on in the country even. But this is where we're at with this stuff. You need to put these people out there that people want. Oh, yeah, okay, that's great. That's what they want. That's what people want. Now, I think there might be one more thing. Oh, this is I'm not going to play this. This is Jasmine Prickett. I don't think I want to play this, do I? I don't think I do. It's about 10 seconds long. It's not even worth playing. Now, here's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This is interesting. She just, this is typical of her. She just, almost, her show almost, this is her doing a shorter, it's a TikTok, I guess what it is. And this is her just checking on and doesn't have anything to say. Much like myself, this is my show. My whole show is just push the button and start talking. But she has nothing to say. There's nothing even in her head. She just, this is, I guess her whole TikTok thing was this way. So we'll see what it was.
Joining, I mean.
You know, maybe we should start.
Here's, I don't know what happened there. That's, I don't know why did that do that? Maybe it comes up earlier. Maybe it comes up a little bit later. We'll see what happens here. I might have had the wrong spot there on that particular one. Now there's another one here with Whoopi, and I'm not even going to play that. I'm not going to play that either. See here, we got Joe. That's Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's talking about racial issues, some things like that. We're gonna move on. There's some other things we can talk about. Because I really want to get into this. This is kind of the meat of what I want to talk about. Is just this Chuck Schumer. Now, Chuck Schumer has put himself out there as one of the leaders of the party. He's the Senate majority leader. Is he majority leader? I think that's who is it? No, he's a minority leader right now. Mitch McConnell is still the majority leader, and we haven't heard anything about him because he's pretty much comatose, which is ridiculous. He's just stepped down. Whatever. So we have this Chuck Schumer guy out there making all the. I guess he's written a book now. Of course, now he hasn't written a book. Of course, I'm sure it's a ghost writer. He doesn't have time to write a book. And so he was going to do a book tour. And of course, he found out there was going to be all these people protesting. So he decided not to do it. He's not going to do the book tour. Now, stop and think about that for a second. What kind of coward does that? Well, they're going to be protesting. So he just doesn't want to, he doesn't want that in the news. He doesn't want that to be the optics. But he's also very cowardly in that respect. I don't know that ever stopped Donald Trump. I don't know that ever stopped most of the, name your Republican candidate. I don't know anybody that's not gone on the campaign trail because, well, they might protest me. That just doesn't happen. But Chuck Schumer can't do it. He's because he's scared, I guess. I don't know. So speaking of scared, Hunter Biden has had Secret Service protection for quite a while. I guess he took off to South Africa. It is a drug capital, by the way. It is a major drug place. And all the stuff that's happening there. Trump did not know that he was in South Africa and didn't know that he had 18 Secret Service people with him. 18. Now, once you're over eight, once you're, in fact, speaking of the number 18, when you're over 18 in age, you're no longer afforded Secret Service, you know, just by normal regulation. Now, the president could assign anybody to Secret Service to anybody. Anybody who wants. Apparently, Joe Biden assigned a bunch of Secret Service to watch over Hunter. Who is it? What is it? He's in his 50s or 60s? I think he's 50s. And here he is traveling around the world. And it's costing, on the taxpayer dime, by the way, you know, he doesn't pay for that Secret Service detail. Donald Trump found out about this that day. He said, oh, I'll have to look into that. He basically turned around, went to his desk, made a phone call. Hunter Biden's detail was canceled. Hopefully, Hunter Biden came home right away because I can't imagine him being able to be very safe in South Africa right now without some kind of detail watching him. Maybe the detail was more to babysit him than it was anything. But nonetheless, of course, now Trump is being accused of, he's trying to get Hunter Biden killed. Well, he doesn't get, he was never an official. He was never an elected individual. He was never head of any committees. He never was really allowed to have Secret Service detail. But he had it. Which again is just another one of those, just bilk the American taxpayer as much as we can. Now, still, I'm going to talk this thing about Schumer. Schumer is, I don't think it's the going along with the continuing resolution. I don't think the continuing resolution is going to be what keeps Chuck Schumer or makes him lose his position. What I do think is going to, I think the end of Chuck Schumer is going to be what he's just said about small businesses. He comes out and makes this statement, and this is along the lines of when Obama came out and said, you didn't build that. When you go out and start a business and you, oh, by the way, I read some stuff on social media. Hopefully I remember to read this. I'll just pull it up on my phone because this is obviously a person who's never started a business, or maybe they've tried once, but nonetheless, they're obviously stupid, or I should say ignorant of what it takes to start a business or what it's like to start a business. Yeah, here it is. This is it. This is a typical person comes across my Facebook social media stuff all the time that is unbelievably just ignorant. First, I want to play this thing by Chuck Schumer. This really gravels me. The first business I started, I didn't know I was starting a business. I didn't really think of myself as a businessman. Was in the fifth grade. I had a little business. I would walk home from school back in the day. I lived in school, was in town. It was in a little town called Millersburg. I lived on the other side of the bridge, on the other side of the tracks, you might say. They had this little bridge there, and still do. It's still, the bridge is still there. It's a different bridge now. They tore that one down, put a new one up. But the bridge I would walk over was this old antique thing that was falling apart. And I was about four houses away from that bridge. And I would walk up to cross the bridge and walk down through the main part of town, which was like four stores. It was like a little grocery store, a little candy store, was a little hardware store, and I think there was one other thing. I think there was a bar. There, click off to the right. So, and I would walk down through. There was a little gas station, and there was a welding shop. It's just, that's about all there was there. I think the bank had a, I think there was a bank there as well. And we, you know, I would walk to the school, and I would walk, depending on how I would go, I would usually go over the bridge and then turn right there on Main Street and left on the next block, and I'd go right down to the school. And that's how I went to school. And it was probably a mile, probably. There was no bus because I was still in the city limits. If you were in the city limits, you didn't get a bus. And it wasn't until they closed the bridge that they had a bus that was available, but I still didn't take the bus because I didn't want to take the bus, so I just walked across the tracks. But in fifth grade, I would go to school, and on my way home, I would usually stop by the candy store. If I didn't spend all my money on lunch money, which was, at least, I think it was our lunch cost 50 cents or something like that. Just had a little punch card. And you get you buy your punch card for like $2.50, and you got a meal every day. So you got a weekly punch card. Get your card punched. So kids didn't have to carry cash around. So we had go in and get your meal. And I think you could spend more if like for ice cream and that kind of stuff. So I had a little bit of spending money. Like I had an allowance because I was, you know, I would do work at home. And my parents would give me some money. So I would usually have a little change left over at the end of the day. And I'd go by this candy store and I'd buy some candy. So I'd have it with me the next day. Well, I'd go to school the next day. Of course, and all these kids coming in from the country, they didn't walk past a candy store on the way home. They didn't have a choice. They were out there in the middle of nowhere. They didn't have a candy store option. So I would sell them my candy. I started buying more candy. I marked it up, and I would sell them candy. Oh, you want a Snickers bar? I got you one of those. They were 5 cents. I'd sell them for 10 cents. And then I'd go back and buy a couple more. I started to have a little stockpile of candy. When I go to school, I could sell candy. Or people would place an order, and I'd go in, buy them some candy, and bring it back. I didn't think of that as being a business, but I was making some money. I'm sure I reported that on my taxes, by the way. Then I think it was in sixth grade, a buddy of mine, he actually had the idea for this business, but we came up with this little business where we were fixing pens. It's back in the day when everybody wrote on with pens and paper, you know, you had paper and pen. These little click pens, you had all kinds of different kinds of pens, and people's pens would break, and so we had this little box with all these little pen parts in it, and we would fix people's pens for them. And of course, we'd charge them, you know, 5 cents or whatever to fix their pen. And that's why I'm the millionaire that I am today, a pen fixer. That's why. It was just an interesting little job. Now, as I got older, my dad kind of was into sales. He was doing all, my dad was always kind of doing some kind of little side job trying to, my dad worked his butt off to provide for us. He was always interested in business. I think it kind of runs on my dad's side of the family. I think I kind of got the gene or whatever it is, the some kind of disease. We're always wanting to start a family or start a business. It's just the family business thing has just been there. My brother started several businesses. I've started several businesses, too many. And his kids both were involved in business. It's just ridiculous. And most of my dad's brothers and sisters had some kind of side business of some sort, or a business of, you know, flat out business. And so it's just one of those things where it's just been on our family. It's just kind of our nature to do that. So don't tell me about what it takes, what kind of risks you have to take. I've done everything from small little side jobs, small businesses, quit my, you know, full-time job just to go all in on a business. I, at one time back in 2005, I quit a very good job, borrowed all the money I could get put all a bunch of money and put a, bought a bunch of things on credit card. I was maxed out with credit. Used what a little money I had saved up in my 401k and everything else that I had, and went all in on a business back in 2005. I was still working that job for a little while. But don't tell me that I don't know anything about what kind of risk that takes, what kind of stress and pressure that takes. Now, I also started a business back in 1992, a business that grew very quickly, went through a lot of money, didn't really make much money, but it was a very high volume, very high cash flow business, high overhead, you might say. I started a business at the age of 19. I started a karate studio. At the same time, I was a scuba diving instructor. It wasn't long after that. Now, there was a couple other little businesses in there, little side job things I would do. But there was a business that I started cleaning airplanes. That's how I paid for my airplane education to become a pilot. I had a little mobile cleaning service on my truck. I had a tank, a water tank on my truck. I'd go around and wash and wax planes. Then I started doing cars. I got ripped off by a radio advertiser. That kind of put a stop to my business. That's when I started flight instructing, because I actually started a flight school in 92. There's one thing after another. And so don't tell me, buddy. Don't have this attitude. But this is Chuck Schumer's attitude towards people who started businesses. And this, in my opinion, is the voice of a guy who has no idea what he's saying. And let me just play this for you so that you can get an idea of the, and this basically is the epitome. This personifies the attitude that the left has. And I'll read some other things. This is kind of the main manifestation of what they believe about business people. And we'll get into this a little bit deeper as well.
And you know what their attitude is? I made my money all by myself. How dare your government take my money from me? I don't want to pay taxes. Or I built my company with my bare hands. How dare your government tell me how I should treat my customers?
Now, this is on The View, and they're getting ready to go to commercial. So they're playing the music, trying to get, you know, this is on their way out. So just so you know, and this is what he's saying. Let me back up just a second here and just we'll start to replay.
Dare your government tell me how I should treat my customers, the land and water that I own, or my employees. They hate government. Government's a barrier to people, a barrier to stop them from doing things. They want to destroy it. We are not letting them do it, and okay. We're united.
Good for you, Jack. I don't know. Every time I hear this, I get madder and madder at this attitude. This is a guy who's never started a business on his own. He's never taken that risk. He's never put everything on the line. I saw my dad do it. I've seen my brother do it. I have done it multiple times. Elon Musk did this. He literally put everything on the line several times with some of his businesses. Nothing scared the guy. He was all in. My dad, providing for a family at the same time he was trying to get a business off the ground, working a full-time job at a factory, at the same time he was trying to get a business that he purchased off the ground. It was a business that had been run down to the point where it was basically not even a business anymore. He turned it around and made it something. Don't talk to me like that, Chuck. You have no idea what you're talking about. That's all I'm going to say about that, because I'm just mad at this guy. I'm mad at that kind of attitude. Government does that. Government does nothing. Nothing to help small business. Nothing. Well, I got an what about those SBA loans? Yeah, try to get one of those. I spent 2 years trying to get an SBA loan. They hem-haw around. They play with you. They toy with you like a cat. All you do is waste a lot of time. And they don't give you an SBA loan unless you've got a lot of money. Let's just put it that way. Banks won't even talk to you. You can't get approved. And then once you do get approved, if you happen to be so, I won't even say lucky, because it's not, you are so beholden to those banks and into that whole process. You don't own your business anymore. So that's all I'm going to say about that. So we have stop the hammering. I have a couple of other things. This other thing is, I was going to play this. This is some good news. Let's just play this real quick. I'll play it at the end. We'll have some good news at the end. We're just going to talk about that kind of thing. Just to kind of end on a positive note, we have, this is O'Donnell. This is another thing talking about Musk. He's talking about Elon Musk and, again, same kind of general attitude, which is what I'm trying to establish here. This is Don Lemon talking about. No, I'm sorry. This is O'Connell or O'Donnell, Lawrence O'Donnell. Here at 4:15. Let's see if I can find this real quick. It's way too far into it. There he is. Nope, it's not there. All right. So here we are. This is again Lawrence O'Donnell, and they're melting down about Musk. Let's hear what he has to say here.
Elon Musk does not understand the country where he now lives. Elon Musk would fail by a wide margin a high school AP American history test. He grew up in white South Africa, going to a segregated elementary school and high school where he learned nothing about American history, American law, American free enterprise. Elon Musk is such a bad salesman that he was stupid enough today to bring even more attention to the latest disturbing challenges the Tesla owners are facing, thanks entirely to Elon Musk.
Yeah, the world's richest.
All right, so that's, again, Lawrence O'Donnell, who has never started a business, who is completely unhinged, has no idea who He's never sat down. First of all, Musk would never give him the time of day. That's his big. He's just jealous. That's his biggest problem right there. But it's one of those things where these people who sit back and they've never run for office. They would never even try to run for office. They've never started a business. But they know all about it, and they're going to tell you how you should think about it and this promote and propagate this attitude towards people who are business people who have, for instance, this is something that happened recently. Let's talk about this. This is the kind of stuff Musk does. What do you think?
And splashdown, Crew 9 back on Earth.
Yeah. Who did that? What have you done, Lawrence? You done anything like that? You've gone into space and rescued somebody from space? Your party didn't do anything about it. Your favorite administration didn't do anything about it the last 4 years you had a chance to. I should say the last year. They've been up there for over 9 months. By the way, the guy who was one of the, there was a guy and a gal up there, older gal, but she, this guy was, man, he's like total believer. They ask him some questions. Man, the first thing he runs in, jumps into is about his faith. He's a total, he starts quoting scripture, starts all this stuff. It's pretty. News didn't know what to do with that, of course. In some other news, let's just talk about some other things. Jeremy Boren, I guess he's now stepping down from the Daily Wire. He's the guy who was Ben Shapiro's main man over there at the Daily Wire, which is what they have a network with several different individuals. Michael Knowles, I can't remember, I think we got other people's names on there. Andrew Klavan. Some of those guys. And Matt, what's his name? Matt, somebody. They've lost some people over there. And they've done some very bad management issues. They've been kind of caught themselves in some internal workings and some smug attitudes, some things that they've done that's just been kind of bad. Nonetheless, he's stepping down. Now, I don't know what that's going to do to the brand, what that's going to do to the functioning of the enterprise. They have a lot of money. There's a lot of money flowing through that particular organization. So we'll just see what happens with it. In the meantime, tomorrow's show, I think what we're going to be talking about a little bit more, what I'd like to talk about is some of these lawsuits, the judges, some things that are happening with the judges. And I want to play some things that the Democrats have said during the Biden administration about these judges who ruled against Biden, there were law cases against them filed, not just by the judges. Judges didn't file a case. They were appellate judges. They were all kinds of high-level federal cases that were brought against some of the things that Biden was doing. And they all stepped up and made these comments about how he should ignore these judges. Now, in some cases, that is the case. However, in the cases that were brought against Biden, they were legitimate cases. And they were ruled according to the law. The cases that are going on now, and I'm not a lawyer, so I'm kind of treading on thin ice here, or whatever you want to call it. But my understanding is, I will play some lawyers' clips. I've got some lawyers' commentary on some of these issues. And why these cases that are being brought against Trump and his executive orders have no merit whatsoever. They have no standing. And yet they're ruling on their own. This is kind of like the trumped up stuff that was happening during his, during the 4 years he wasn't president, when they were going after him with all these indictments. It's the same kind of stuff. So they've got a plane full of Tren de Aragua guys, or whatever they call themselves. Gang members, people who've been in prison, people who have been arrested, people who've been, some of them, caught and released. They're murderers, rapists. They're being shipped out of the country on a plane. The judge rules while they're on the plane and wants them, he gives them a verbal order to turn the plane around and come back, because they were being deported illegally. He didn't have the authority to deport them. He wants to bring them back. Now, my opinion is, okay, we'll bring them back, and they're going to stay at your house, and you're going to pay for the flight. You're going to pay for the flight bringing them back. Or if this gets overruled on appeal, and it's determined that they should go back, it was okay for them to go out of the country, then you're paying for that flight. And you're going to pay to house and clothe these guys. And if they commit any crime whatsoever, you're going to be in the cell right next to them. Or I should say the same cell. You're going to be held responsible and liable for any damages that they do and any crimes they commit, civil or violent, whichever it is. You're responsible for them now, because that's why they were being deported to begin with. I guarantee you wouldn't want, oh, no, I can't do that. Oh, that's not legal. Oh, no, it's not my responsibility. Oh, but you want them walking the streets with other people's children. That's okay for you. And it's all just about getting Trump. That's all it's about. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous thing. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. So once again, folks, I bring you good news, which is more, you know, like this. This kind of good news.
And splashdown, Crew 9, back on Earth.
Back on Earth. You know, I'm so glad those guys made it back on Earth. I was really concerned about that mission going bad. So many things can go wrong in a mission like that. And just for it to all be pulled off so quickly and so well done, not a single injury, and just everything's... I'm just so glad they're back here. And I'm glad that all went well, because that would have been very bad. Of course, it's bad enough that the news media will probably have it on for 5 minutes and they'll be done with it. So because it shows Elon Musk in a positive light, which is something they don't want right now because he's a Nazi, of course. And it's okay for people to be out there resisting by burning people's cars, burning down charging stations, busting cars open and throwing Mazeltov cocktails in them. Molotov cocktail, Mazeltov. That's funny. Molotov cocktails. One guy, I guess, got caught because he caught himself on fire trying to throw a Molotov cocktail into one of the cars. Burning them, you know. So you got lithium batteries burning all over the place, and they're all so concerned about the environment. This is the left, folks. This is the kind of people we're talking about. I want to read this one last thing that was posted. It's just, again, this is from a person who doesn't understand what it takes to start a business. She's probably never started a business. Entrepreneurship is like one of those carnival games where you throw darts or something. This is, and it's obviously been reposted, obviously. Middle-class kids can afford one throw. Most miss. A few hit the target and get a small prize. A very few hit the center bullseye and get a bigger prize. Rags to riches. The American dream lives on. Rich kids can afford many throws. If they want to, they can try over and over again until they hit something and feel good about themselves. Some keep going until they hit the center bullseye. Then they give speeches or write blog posts about meritocracy and the salutary effects of hard work. Poor kids aren't visiting the carnival. They're the ones working it. I just want to slap these people. I really do. They just want to vilify anybody who's been successful in business or who's had the opportunity, who's tried very hard, put it all on the line, whether they were... I wasn't raised rich. My parents were not rich. There were times when my mom didn't eat lunch. And I didn't know why. I'm not hungry. I know why now. As I got older, I understood. At the time, when I was 4, I couldn't figure it out. Why would you not be hungry? I was hungry. I had my belly full. I recognize the sacrifice they made, how hard they were trying, and we were not rich. Life was tough, one-income household. My mom ended up getting a job later in the years when I was still in high school. She cleaned a lot of houses, had a little side business cleaning houses for a long time. Then she got a job working in a factory when I was in high school, junior high. It's these attitudes of some of these people who have never given a dime to anybody else, never thought about trying to help someone else with their business, trying to help someone else with their life. These are the kind of people who want government to give money because it's somebody else's money. They feel good about it because they push the government to do something. Again, I default back to this whole thing of the church has abdicated its responsibility to the government to take care of the needs of the people around it. It's all about the show. But I'll digress again on that. I like to hammer on some things that I probably should just be a more mellow about. So anyway, tomorrow, and I think Friday, I'm not sure how Friday's going to go because Friday I have to drop my little doggy off to training. My dog's going off to school for a couple weeks. He's starting to grow up now. He's going off to school. It's like he's going off to college. He's down here sleeping at my feet right now. I'm going to miss him, but he's going to come back all perfect. I'm sure. I don't know. He's going to come back. He's just probably just more ornery than ever. But anyway, in the meantime, folks, thanks for listening. Pray for our nation. Pray for each other. And don't just believe everything you hear, especially from this show. I'll talk to you later. God bless. Have a great rest of your week. See ya.